to CrozierCast, the official podcast from the Diocese of Gallup. I'm Suzanne Hammonds, Director of Communications, and as always, with me is your host, Bishop James Wall. Bishop Wall, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Suzanne. How are you doing?
Good. Can't complain. So we thought we would talk a little bit today about Fatima, not only because it's the 100th anniversary, but also because you recently took a pilgrimage there, and then also we have some exciting news about the children, as far as
we do
up front. So why don't we start a little bit with the pilgrimage that you took recently?
Sure, I was able to lead a pilgrimage, not only as the leaders, but as the chaplain and spiritual director, and our group. It was fairly small, which turned out to be a real blessing. The Lord always sends, and people respond. How many people that you need on a pilgrimage? So I've been on a pilgrimage with 146, and I've been on this one, which was my smallest, was 15. And it was a real blessing, a grace-filled time for everyone, and good time to make a pilgrimage during the season of Lent too, which is a time of prayer, purification, time of penance, and to really grow in our relationship with the Lord. We took a pilgrimage. We can fill in the in-betweens, but starting in Fatima, actually starting in Lisbon, and then ending in Toulouse, France, and then everything in between.
I didn't realize you went all the way to France. So what was in France that was different than Portugal?
We kind of bookended our pilgrimage with two Marian shrines, probably the two most famous Marian, well, two very famous Marian shrines. I was going to say that, and then I remembered about Guadalupe, our patroness. The first one was Fatima, and then the last one was Lourdes. We did the two big Marian shrines.
And so why is this year especially important about Fatima?
Well, that's very important because this is the 100th anniversary of the appearance, the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima to the three shepherd children. And 100 years, you always want to make, we mark very important events in the life of the church. Somebody turns 21 or 18 or 50 or 75 or even more important, 100. When somebody turns 100 here, we always make a big deal out of that. And so we also mark important anniversaries. And this being the 100th anniversary of the appearance of Our Lady of Fatima to the three shepherd children is very, very, very important.
Could you sum up? I mean, I know many, many people are familiar with Fatima, but maybe some people aren't quite as familiar. They have just a passing understanding about it. So what exactly happened at Fatima?
Well, Fatima is a city. It was a very, very small city, very, very small and poor village in Portugal. And in 1917, on May 3rd, three shepherd children, Francisco and Jacinta, who were brother and sister, and their cousin, Lucia, were in this field, in this area, the Cova da Iria, and it's kind of a large open field outside the village of Fatima, the little shepherd children, and all of a sudden there was an appearance of this lady, who later we came to know as the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's not out of the ordinary for Our Lady to appear, especially in places in times of trials, struggles, when she's really needed. And so here Our Lady appears to these three shepherd children. I might add, this is during World War I, too, so this was a very difficult time in the history of the world, one of the bloodiest wars we've ever seen. And so she appears on May 13th to the three children, and what she does is she requests that the rosary, so the rosary is intimately tied in with the appearance of Our Lady of Fatima, that the rosary be prayed every day for peace, for world peace. And really, with the peace that we hope for is the peace that Jesus gives, which is peace not of this world, but is a peace that is lasting, enduring, and that only that He can give. So there was this apparition of the first one of Our Lady of to the children at Fatima, and they were young. They were young children.
Is which one is it that I believe is still alive? Is that Lucy, or did she?
Lucia was the last one to, or Lucy, she was the last one to die, and she died, I think, 2004, 2005, somewhere around there. But she compared to the other two who died not too long after the apparitions, Francisco and Jacinta, she was the one that lived for quite some time and eventually ended up becoming a Carmelite nun.
And they, at times, also, they had to persevere as well, even after the apparition, correct?
They did. They suffered greatly. And that's a lot of what's tied into Fatima is prayer and penance. That's what's tied into Fatima, the importance of doing prayer and penance. And because the children would suffer greatly, many people didn't believe them. If at one point they were imprisoned because of the people not believing them, and they tried to interrogate them, they tried to force them to change their story, but the kids wouldn't budge because they knew that this was something that was of God, and the message that was coming to them was the message from Our Lady, who's the mother of our Lord, and so they would not budge at all. So here you have adults and the police and everyone trying to force them to change their story and to recant. And they wouldn't. You can imagine if Our Lady appeared to you, you wouldn't change your story. You would know that this was something that was true. There's the promise of the appearances. They took place on the 13th of every month from May 1st to October. May 13th to October 13th. With the exception of one day, and that was August 13th, and that was the day when the people didn't believe them and the children were imprisoned. So they didn't receive the appearance of Our Lady on that day because the children were in jail.
And when did it finally, how was it finally accepted?
Eventually, they studied it. The local church looked at it, and then they presented the findings to the Holy See, and they're very, very careful not rushing. For example, we still don't have anything definitively settled in terms of Medjugorje. We still don't. So the church is very, very careful. Sometimes people will say, well, they need to hurry up and approve this, but we have to be very careful to make sure that this is something that is of God. So I think, I think it would be, and I'm just trying to remember my time there, I think it was 13 years, 14 years, something like that, where it officially was approved or encouraged by the church, and every pope after that has encouraged a devotion to Our Lady of Fatima. Many popes have visited Our Lady of Fatima. I think Paul VI, who's Blessed Paul VI, I know he went there. I know that Pope St. John Paul II went there, and I know that our Holy Father, Pope Francis, we'll be visiting this year on the anniversary of the first appearance, which will be for May 13th. And as you kind of alluded to a little earlier, there's a nice little surprise that the day we finished our pilgrimage and the day that we arrived back in the States, the news came out that our Holy Father had approved the canonization of the two that were already blessed, that being Francisco and Jacinta, the two that were brother and sister. So they were already beatified, and our Holy Father will canonize them.
And you mentioned it was approved a little bit later, so had they already died by that point?
The two younger ones had already died by that point, yeah. They didn't die, they died not too long after that. Yeah, I believe Francisco was the first to die, and Jacinta was the next one to die. It wasn't too long after that.
Kind of an interesting story of perseverance, that sometimes you don't see the fruit of your labors, in your own lifetime.
Sure.
But it still has an impact on many, many people later. So.
Sure. We think about maybe when we want to build a new church, a parish wants to build a new church. And in our instant gratification, I need it now. The speed of my modem or Wi-Fi isn't fast enough. All those things that we have to have it now. You think about some of the great cathedrals in Rome. I think about the one in Italy. I think about the one in Florence. I think that took 175 years to complete. on some of these great churches. You know, the seeds were sown early on, but many people, by giving some of their money toward the construction of the church, knew that in their lifetime that church would not be completed. But they knew that by giving that, something was much, much greater coming, and something would be built for the greater glory of God. And so here we have Jacinta and Francisco, and they were sharing the messages of Our Lady, knowing that they really weren't going to be around in this world to see them to come to fruition.
So was it already crowded there a little bit when you visited? You kind of went there a little earlier.
We went there at the best time in the world, because we went there during the Lenten season. So in the Lenten season, this is in Fatima and Lourdes, one of the big things that they have in the evening is they have a rosary procession. And I've been part of the Fatima rosary procession in the summer, and the crowds are incredible. And I hear the same thing with Lourdes. But for us, the trade-off was crowds, to have crowds in the procession, or not to have crowds and have a nice, quiet, prayerful time. And we took the latter. We chose not to have crowds and have a nice, quiet, prayerful time. So the crowds, there were hardly any people there. It was wonderful. At the place of the first apparition, they have a chapel that's built, and at the spot of that, they have a beautiful image of Our Lady of Fatima. And I was able to celebrate, on the 2 days we were there, the Mass in English on the place of the apparition. And then one evening, I was able to lead the rosary, and they pray the rosary in all sorts of different languages. So, for example, a decade might be done in Portuguese, or a decade might be done in Spanish. And this time we had half of a decade done in English, half a decade was done in Polish. And my mother was on the pilgrimage with me, and she leads the rosary at my home parish every day at 6. So she had the opportunity to lead the rosary in English. It was quite the little gift for her. And it was quite a little gift for our family, too. We have a big devotion to Our Lady of Fatima, because my family came into the church at Our Lady of Fatima here in our diocese in Chinle, Arizona.
Yeah, I did want to touch on that a little bit. It was kind of neat. Maybe people don't know, but you had the privilege to take this pilgrimage with your mother. So how was that on a personal level? What was it like?
It was wonderful. You know, the greatest gift that my parents both gave me — my father passed away in 99, but the greatest gift my parents both gave me was the gift of fostering and nourishing my Catholic faith. And so the greatest thing that she and I share together is our Catholic faith. So my mother, along with my aunt, who's also a convert, her sister was on the pilgrimage too, and it's a gift that I'll really cherish for the rest of my life, because we, along the pilgrimage, we were able to grow in our faith with one another.
And had she ever been to Fatima?
She'd never been to Fatima, and she'd never been to Lourdes. She made it into the water at Lourdes, I might add, and which was pretty exciting. But in Fatima, I know my mother and my aunt, the two of them really just took in the whole environment, the whole atmosphere, the time of prayer, able to visit the homes of Francisco and Jacinta, as well as the home of Lucia. And one of the ladies we were able to meet when we were at the home of Lucia is the niece of Lucia. She's an elderly lady in her 90s, and we were able to meet her. But I know my mom and my Aunt Kathy just loved the time.
That's great. And I noticed before we started, you had highlighted a few things too. So without me dominating the conversation too much, were there specific points that you wanted to touch on?
Yeah, there are, because when we think about in the messages from Our Lady of Fatima, you know, Our Lady asked for some specific things. She asked for the recitation of the rosary daily and to pray it specifically for world peace. And we know that back then, this is during World War I, and one of the things she also asked for is the conversion of Russia, which we know is about to become a godless, Marxist, communist country. And so here you have these three little Portuguese shepherd children they have no idea what Russia is, where Russia is. And but Our Lady was sharing this with them to pray this for the conversion of Russia. And then also asking for a devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady. Just a couple years ago here in our diocese, we were able to consecrate our diocese to the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady. And we know that John Paul II has done that, the world. Benedict did it, and we know Pope Francis did it too. And so there's this devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady, and it shows her great love that she has for we, her children. And we also know that what she does is she always points to her Son. Last recorded words of Our Lady in the Scriptures come from the wedding feast at Cana, and her last recorded words are, do whatever it is that he tells you to do, which is my good friend Archbishop Aquila in Denver. That's his episcopal motto. I think that's a great episcopal motto to have. So there's this, you know, this, and then also this Our Lady shared with them these horrific events that would take place, and the one of the events that would take place was World War II. And so to pray the rosary in order to avoid World War II, these horrible atrocities against mankind and against the sanctity and gift of human life. So there's that, and then there was some bit of a depending on who you speak to, but this foretelling of this, you know, this famous third secret, and you know, many people believe that the third secret was the attempt of the attempt on the life of Pope St. John Paul II, in May of 1981. And if we remember, Pope St. John Paul II attributed to his life being spared to the intercession of Our Lady of Fatima. So he visits Fatima the next year, and he even donated the bullet that he was shot with. That was a miracle that his life was spared. He donated the bullet, and it was placed in the crown that's on the image of Our Lady of Fatima. So it's a number of things, or the appearance, but the kind of the heart of Fatima is prayer and penance. To do prayer and penance, because of first of all pray for souls in purgatory, do penance for souls in purgatory, pray for our own conversion, but then also pray for all the sacrilege that is committed against the Sacred Heart of our Lord. And so there's a really beautiful central message to Fatima for that. Some of the people say that when you look at the two images or the apparitions, Our Lady of Fatima and Our Lady of Lourdes, they say, with Lourdes we see so many physical healings, and with Fatima we see so many spiritual healings. But the two of them go nicely together, and they're both appearances of Our Lady.